Good evening. We'll go ahead and get started tonight. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Again, thankful always for the opportunity that we have to be together and to spend a few minutes in God's Word together tonight and just for some time of refuge. I know we say that a lot on Wednesday nights, but man, how special it is to kind of stop during the middle of the week and reload and revive just a little bit, you know. I know Wednesday nights is tough for a lot of people with everybody's schedule and work schedule, different things, but I don't want to do without Wednesday night. I love our Wednesday night time together because Monday and Tuesday sometimes will wear you out, and then you get to get a little bit of revitalization on Wednesday night and then continue throughout the week. And I know it's a great strengthening for me to be able to be here with you tonight. If you're joining us on Facebook, thank you for being with us tonight. We don't want to take your presence for granted either. I'm glad that you took time out of your evening to sit down and just pause for a minute and let's share God's Word together. As always, on Wednesday nights, if you want to leave a prayer request there in the comment section or if you need to send us a message, you're more than welcome to do that. We'll do our best to be in prayer for all of our needs that we have. And most of all, let's all continue to pray for the lost. I do believe that we're living in the last days, and I know you've heard that all of your life. But I want you to know that as we live, whether we're taken out of here by the rapture or if it's through the death or whatever it is so important that people are ready to know to meet Jesus Christ. So let's pray for those that are lost most of all. But if you will take your Bibles, turn me to Genesis chapter number 42, where we'll be reading tonight. We're going to continue right on with our study of Joseph. And I told somebody just today, I had a guy walk up to the office and he wanted to ask me a couple of questions about some places to study. And I told him, I said, well, we've been studying Joseph on Wednesday nights. And I said, I really thought we was going to be there for about 3 weeks. I said, about three Wednesday nights is what I had kind of planned for this. And then it's just continued to grow into a study. And I know that I haven't even touched the surface of what studying there is to be done right here. But we're going to continue in Genesis chapter number 42 tonight. If you will, pray with me and pray for me that we'll be exactly where God wants us to be as we study together tonight. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. We do thank you for this time that you've given us to be together tonight, God, and we don't want to take that for granted. There's a lot of different places that we could be tonight, God, and we just want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here, for the health and the strength and all those blessings that you've given us that we take for granted, God. We ask you to help us and to always acknowledge you in everything in our lives, God. God, I do know that we have a lot of requests on our hearts and our minds, and maybe some that's being shared on Facebook right now, God. I pray that you'll just touch all of these requests. God, I pray that you'll help us to seek you in our lives. And God, I pray most of all for the ones that we know or maybe the ones that we come in contact with that are lost, God. I pray that you'll help them see their need for a Savior and help us to be a light to them, God, as we come into contact with them. God, I pray that you'll help us as we study tonight in Genesis 42. And God, I pray that you'll help me to teach or preach or however, whatever your will is tonight, God, I pray that you'll just help me to be exactly where you want me to be. God, we thank you and we praise you most of all that you loved sinners like us and allowed Jesus Christ to come give his life for us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter number 42, we're going to begin reading with verse number 1. And as we, you know, we looked last week and we took Genesis chapter number 41 and done a little, maybe some application out of Genesis 41. And the week before that, we studied Genesis 41 and read through it. And we talked about the dreams that Pharaoh had and that Joseph was able to interpret those dreams. And now Joseph has been set up and he has been preparing Egypt for the famine that is coming. So in Genesis chapter number 42, we know that the famine has come. So let's begin reading with verse number 1. It says, now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, why do ye look one upon another? He said, what are you doing here? Why are we just kind of looking at each other? He said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die. He said, there's corn down in Egypt. And he said, you need to get up and get down there that we can get some of this corn so we don't die here. And Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. Now, if you remember, as we began the study, there was 12, and now there's 10 coming to Joseph. So that makes 11. So verse number 4, we find out where number 12 is. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sinned not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. Now, isn't it amazing how that we read in the beginning of this story how that Joseph was sent after his brothers, and that we know the mischief that came in Joseph's life when he went searching for his brothers. So maybe Dad has learned a lesson. Maybe Dad has decided, you know what, I remember what happened to Joseph when I sent him with his brothers, and he keeps Benjamin at home. So here Benjamin is at home, and the other 10 brothers are gone down to Egypt to buy corn because the famine is so bad. If they don't go to Egypt and find something to eat, Jacob says, we're all going to die. So he sends them down to buy corn in verse number 2, 3, and 4. Verse number 4 again, but Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Wow, it's amazing to see how God's plan comes full circle. It's amazing to see how we started out several chapters back and we see that Joseph has a dream, and the dream was that his brothers would bow down to him, and the second dream included his father and his mother also. And now here we are in Genesis chapter number 42, and we've been down this road with Joseph. We've been through these different times that he had in his life, how that his brothers hated him, how that his brothers put him in a pit, how that his brothers put him into slavery, how then he was lied about, put in prison, forgotten, all of these things that happened to Joseph. And then we see how that God's plan come together. Verse number 6 again, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and it was he that sold all the people in the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren and knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them, and said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed of them, and said unto them, ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land are you come. So as the brothers come to buy the corn, and they have no idea who Joseph is, and Joseph has been set up as the governor, and it's amazing how, again, we see that God's plan comes full circle, and the brothers have to come, and they have to come to Joseph and to buy this corn. Now, in their mind, they have no clue where Joseph is. They have no clue what happened to him. Far as they know, he's just a slave somewhere. He's just somebody's servant somewhere, and we know how that God worked in Joseph's life. And we know how that he's been set up as the governor, and now he's in control of all of the food and the corn, and he's the one that people have to come to and ask for the corn or to buy the corn from. And man, there's a famine in the land, and these boys are starving to death. Their families are starving to death, and daddy sent them down to buy this corn. And as they come up to Joseph, not knowing that it's Joseph, they're willing to do almost anything in order to get the corn that they need, in order to get the food that they need to take back home, to accomplish the mission that daddy has sent them on. So as they come to the governor there, and as they come to Joseph, and the Bible tells us that they bow down to Joseph. And once again, it's amazing to see God's plan come into action, how that God showed Joseph what the plan was back in the dream. And now here the brothers are, and they're bowed down against their own will, because you remember their will was that they would never bow down to their brother. Their will was that there was no way that the dream that Joseph had would ever come true. Their will was to make sure that when Joseph told them that he had the dream, that Joseph would be destroyed and there was no possible way that his dream would ever come true. So even against what maybe their own personal will or their own fleshly will was, here they are bowed down to their brother. And he recognizes them, and they don't recognize him. But the Bible tells us in verse number 9 that Joseph remembered the dream. In verse number 9, let's read it again together. I can't quote it, so let's read it. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed of them. So it wasn't like that Joseph was taking this dream that God gave him, and man, he was just holding on tight to it, and he was just saying, well, I know what God showed me, and I know this is going to happen in my life. It wasn't like that Joseph had that, because here we find in verse number 9 that it kind of comes back to him as his brothers are bowed down to him. And the reason that I say that is, even though that Joseph was in the pit, and Joseph was in prison, and Joseph was in slavery, and Joseph was lied about, all those different things. It wasn't like that he had some kind of stronghold that, oh, I know what God told me. No, he had just dedicated his life unto God. He had just decided that this was the way that he was going to live his life, that even when an attractive woman come to him, that he decided, no, I'm going to continue to surrender my life unto God. And he made choices that maybe ended up, or we know that had him end up in prison, but he didn't fall for that temptation. And it wasn't because he had some great epiphany, or some great dream. And we know that he had the dream, but it wasn't like he was just holding on to that, because here we are in verse number 9, and Joseph remembers the dream. Joseph, it comes to him, and he remembers as he's looking at his brothers bowed down to him, he remembers what God had showed him. And I guess what I'm saying in all of this is sometimes it would just be good for us to remember some things that God has showed us. Sometimes it would just be good for us to remember some things that God has told us in his word, some things that God has showed us in our own lives, and some things that God has done for us. And you say, well, preacher, what are you trying to say? God has done just like he did for Joseph. Now, maybe I've never had the dream, and God showed me something that he was going to do in my life. But through God's word, I can see some things that God has told me that he is going to do for my life and in my life. And I believe sometimes that I forget those things. I believe that sometimes that I take those things for granted. Sometimes life gets so busy, or things happen in my life, that I get to the place that I don't remember the things that God has told me, the things that God has showed me, and the things that God has done for me. Sometimes we just need to step back just a minute, and maybe Joseph was doing that here as he sees his brothers bowed down to him, as he sees that's happening, and he remembers the dream that God showed him. Maybe sometimes in our life when we're upset, maybe sometimes in our life when we're having one of those spiritual downfalls, if you will, and what I mean by that is maybe a moment of doubt, or maybe a moment of, God, I'm doing my best to trust you, but I'm just not seeing it right now. Maybe we need to step back and remember some things that God has told us, showed us, or done for us. Let me just give you a couple of examples tonight. Maybe you can remember the first time that God spoke to you. You know, I can remember the first time that God spoke to me. I can remember, and you say, well, what do you mean? You heard an audible voice, and God's, no, absolutely not. It was much louder than an audible voice. I remember standing in Rock Hill Baptist Church during a revival service, and I can't remember exactly who was preaching. I could take a while guess, but then we had several teenagers that were saved during that revival, and I may have been 6, I may have been 7. It was sometime before I come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior there at home, but I remember standing there in that church. I remember at the end of that revival service, I remember my heart went to pounding. I knew it was the Holy Spirit that was speaking to my heart, and it was drawing me and letting me know that I was lost and that I needed to be saved. And you say, well, preacher, what's so special about remembering the first time that God spoke to you? You know what? The first time that God spoke to me was about salvation, and it was a little scary at that particular time. But when I remember that God spoke to me that night, I take into account that I was a little 6 or 7 year old boy. I wasn't very important here on this earth. There was no kind of good works to my name. There was nothing that I had accomplished. There was nothing that God should have chose me out of. He come right down in Siloam for a little 6 or 7 year old boy that absolutely didn't mean a whole lot whatsoever, but he chose to search me out that night and to speak to my heart and to draw me. Can you remember the first time that God spoke to you? You remember the first time that the Holy Spirit went to dealing with you? I want you to know that there is nothing that we could have done to be worthy of that, but God saw each and every one of us out. God came to find us whether we were looking for him or not. And man, how special that is when I remember that God sought me out and wanted me to be one of his children. He spoke to me individually. It had nothing to do with who my dad was. It had nothing to do with anything else except for God wanted me to be one of his children and be able to spend eternity with him. When I remember that, that is special to me. That is, I know at that point in time it was scary. I didn't get saved that night. I didn't go up and get saved that night. But it was special to me when I think about it, and especially when I remember back to that night that God came to me went before I was ever looking for him. When I remember that moment that I made the decision to allow him to be my Savior, I had no idea how life-changing, and I knew from the preaching from my dad and other preachers that I had sat under, even at 7 years old, I knew that it was eternity-changing, because that was the reason I got saved. I didn't want to go to hell. But I didn't realize how life-changing my relationship with Jesus Christ would be. And when I think about it, and I remember as I was growing up, the times that God had influence in my life, how that God led my life and guided my life. No, I wasn't always perfect, and there were times when I think back about it that I made decisions that I wish that I hadn't made, that I made choices that have affected the rest of my life. But when I look back, I also can look and see the times that God was there for me, that God guided my life and led my life when I finally made that decision to allow Him to be my Savior. And ain't that amazing when you even say that you had to allow God to do something in your life? But you absolutely do when it comes to salvation. See, God, He'll woo us, and God, He'll love us, and God, He'll try to get us to the end of that relationship. But ultimately, we have to make the decision to allow God to forgive us of our sins. We have to allow God to do something. And when I remember that moment that I made a decision for Jesus Christ, that's something that's special to me. And when I get to the place that when life seems hard or life seems tough, when I begin to remember those things in my life, it is absolutely things that can continue to help me on my Christian journey. When I know my eternity changed and that my life changed, when you remember the fellowship that you've had with the Lord, all of the rescue missions that God has had on your behalf. I don't know if you've ever had to be rescued. Now, we know we were rescued from our sins, but there's been many, many times in my life that God had to rescue me. That God had to come to me in a time of my life when I felt defeated. That God had to come to me in a time of my life when maybe I was about to make some really bad decisions, some really bad choices, and God's Holy Spirit would come and speak to me, and He would lead me in a different way. When I remember those things in my life, see, when I look at Joseph here, and when he comes to the place and he says, and Joseph remembered the dreams, there was something special about that dream. All of a sudden, it all comes back to him, and he realizes that God had a plan the whole time that he was going through, everything that he was going through. I don't know if you know some of your rescue missions that God has had on your behalf or not, but I could name some of mine tonight, and I'm not going to because of the sake of time, but God has run rescue missions in my life. There have been times when I felt lonely. I said I wasn't going to name them. I'm not going to. There's been times when God had to run rescue missions on my behalf. I'll just leave it right there. See, my story is my story, and your story is yours. And it's amazing how different and similar they can be at the same time, that we have a God that individually loves us and that individually has a relationship with us. When I remember the times that He's heard and answered prayers in my life, and I know that I've shared some of mine with you at times during messages, but you think back in your life, some of you are the answer to some people's prayers in here. Some of you are a product of prayer. Some of you, I've had people come to me and say, I want you to pray for this person. I want you to pray. I believe that God's dealing with them. I believe that they need help from God, whatever it was. And some of you, because somebody had a prayer for you, you're the product of that prayer. You're the evidence of that prayer. And man, when I look around and I think about that and I remember how many times God has answered prayers for me in my life, there's something that's just so special about that that helps me to move on with my Christian life, to keep going when things get tough, when things get hard. I believe right now that there's a lot of people who are struggling in their Christian walk. I believe there are people who are having I don't want to say mistrust issues or doubts or whatever. Only them and God knows what they're going through. But I can tell you by the text that I get, by the prayer requests that I get, that there are people who are struggling right now with their walk with Christ. And sometimes I think that it would do us all good, and it would do them good if they would stop and just remember what all God really has done. If they would just remember how God has taken care of them and how God has spoke to them
and how God has done that in our lives. The promises that he's made, when I remember the promises that God's made in my life, look, I know that Joseph, when he remembered what had happened, when he remembered that dream, I know that it was something that was special to him. And when I remember the promises that God's made to me, and I know that the word says that he cannot lie, that every promise that he has made in this word is absolutely 100% true. See, you know, I might tell you something, and I might have all intentions of doing it. I might even try to do it and even fail at doing it. But I can promise you this on the authority of God's word, and that's the only time that my promise is 100% okay, that God's promises will always come true. You know, when you think about it and you know that he's promised you that he'll be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, when you think about it and you know that he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you, and when you think about it and he's promised you, because you believed his word and because you've done what his word asks you to do, to be in a relationship, that he'll never deny you, that when you stand before God, that he'll say, that's one of mine. When we look at that in our lives, remember the promises that he has made. Remember the protection that he has provided. Some of you have had some wild stuff happen to you in your life. Some of you, there have been times that you should have left this place. Probably all of us have been in a predicament like that at some time or the other. I remember one night, Autumn and I were just dating, and I was at her house. Her mom and dad was on the couch, and we were all watching a movie, and I laid down there on the floor and started watching a movie, and every one of us went to sleep. And I was supposed to be home by 11. Now, I would assume that my dad went to sleep too, or he would have called before 12:30. But it was about 12:30 when Dad called, and when I answered the phone, I had the sleepy head, but when I heard Dad's voice, I wasn't drunk, but I'm talking about sleepy head sober. I sobered up really quick. I knew, uh-oh, I'm dead, is what my thought was. I said, Daddy, I'll be home just a minute, bye. And I hung up a phone. Didn't have a cell phone then. I took off out the door, and I got in my truck. I started home, and it had been raining just a little bit that night. And I went around one of those curves over in Pine Ridge, on Pine Ridge Road. And when I did, my headlights went from pointing this direction to the other direction, just like that. And I was such a good driver that I saved. No, absolutely not. I should have wrecked all over the place. My truck just stopped in the middle of the road. I was okay. And I said, okay, Daddy's going to have to be mad. I'm going to slow down. And I knew Daddy wouldn't want me to drive like that. But at 17, it was get home as fast as you can so the trouble is less than what you think it would be. Or maybe I was 16. But at any rate, I know that God's protection was on me that night. I know if you look back through your life, some of y'all can think of some times that you go, if God hadn't had his hand on me, I would have left here. Whether it be a medical condition or something stupid that you did. I'm looking at you, Alan Sawyers. Or whatever it was. Every single one of us can look in our lives and know and remember that God had his hand of protection on us at some time or the other. Sometimes I think it would be really good for us to stop and just remember some things that God has done for us. Remember the blessings that he has given you. You know, no matter what happens in our lives from day to day, no matter what your financial situation is, I could go on and on and on, but when you look around, every single one of us have been very blessed in our lives. Every one of us. I don't know your situation no more than you know mine, but I can tell you tonight that we've all been blessed. And sometimes you need to remember all of the times that God's let you down. That didn't take long, did it? Because he's never let me down. Hey, there have been times that I would question, okay, God, what are you doing? And there have been times that I still don't even understand what he was doing. But I know that he's never let me down. I know that he has never failed me. So when Joseph remembered, and as he looked down and he remembers the dreams, I believe that he remembered how special that was, but I believe that he also remembered the plan. He knew, you know, when Joseph dreamed this dream and he saw the end game, he didn't know what the means was, but he knew what the end was. And as Joseph looks back and he sees all the different things that he went through, and he sees all of the obstacles that he had to face, but Joseph is sitting here looking at his brothers, bowed down to him. And once again, it wasn't because it was something they wanted to do. They still don't know who he is. But they're bowed down to him, and as they are, there's got to be something in Joseph's mind that says, God said that was going to happen. God showed me that that was going to happen. God told me that that was going to happen. And Joseph remembered the end of the plan. He might have not have known all of the steps along the way. He might not have known all of the obstacles that he would face. But I want you to know something. Here's something that you can rejoice in. And maybe Joseph was even able to rejoice in as he's sitting here looking at his brothers bowed down to him. That all of the obstacles that he faced and all of the intervention that was in the plan couldn't stop God's plan that he had showed him. It could not stop it. As we look and these brothers are bowed down to him, I know that that's not what they wanted in their own minds, but here they are, and all of the obstacles and even their own desire, whatever, could not prevent the plan. The human desire of his brothers couldn't stop the plan. Being lied about couldn't stop the plan. Being in a pit couldn't stop the plan. Being forgotten down in prison couldn't stop the plan. All of these different things that happened around Joseph's life that maybe tried to prevent the plan couldn't stop the plan. And as we look tonight and as we see the plan that God laid out for Joseph's life, and we know all of these things happened, the obstacles and all these different things, and they couldn't stop the plan, I want you to know that God has a plan for our life. And all of the things that are happening around us, no matter what you may think about them, no matter what they may really be, no matter what they may really not be, that God's plan for our life is going to happen. God's plan is perfect. And God's, I know sometimes it's hard to trust God's plan because we don't know his plan. But I also want you to look at this. I hope as we've been studying Joseph, I hope that it's you've been seeing this as we've went along. But in the Old Testament, there are a lot of different things that are used as types of Christ or foreshadowing of Christ. And Joseph is a type of Christ or a foreshadowing of Christ. And we're going to get into some of the details just a little later, maybe as we close this study here in a week or two. But as we've studied about Joseph, I hope that you're beginning to see that Joseph was a type of Christ or a foreshadowing of Christ. And there was a plan that was laid out for Joseph, and the plan took place no matter what came along that tried to stop the plan. And as we look at that and we draw the comparison or we draw the type or the foreshadowing of Christ, that when Jesus came to this earth, there was a plan. And that plan was to provide salvation for you and I, for a perfect sacrifice for you and I. And we'll get into some of the details of this as we continue and maybe end this study. But all of the obstacles that came along, and there were some, I'm not going to get into it tonight, but the obstacles that come along even in Jesus' life to try to change the plan couldn't change the plan. And I'm so thankful as we sit here tonight that the plan that God had for his son, Jesus Christ, couldn't be stopped and couldn't be changed. I'm so thankful that that plan was successful because of that plan that was successful, because all of the things that tried to stop the plan couldn't, then you and I have an opportunity of salvation. Because the plan for Jesus to be the perfect sacrifice for your sins and for my sins as he hung there on that cross. And see, if you look at the devil's viewpoint, there at the cross, it looked like the plan was stopped. It looked like the plan was ended because there hangs the Messiah, there hangs Jesus, there hangs the Savior dead. And yes, he died on the cross. And as he's hanging there, it looks like maybe the plan has been prevented. It looks like maybe the plan has been stopped, that the salvation that was to be provided for you and I, that it was all over. But I sure am thankful that that wasn't the end of the plan. That they took Jesus down, and as they put him there in that grave, look, here we go. I said I wasn't going to get into these. But as the soldiers stood there, they're trying to prevent the plan. As the soldiers took him, and they put him in this tomb, and they guarded the tomb, they're trying to prevent the plan. They're trying to be sure that Jesus stays in there. They're trying to be sure that this plan is going to be stopped. And as they stand there and they guard this tomb, and the Bible tells us that there was a signet put over the door to be sure that it was sealed, to be sure that nobody messed with it. But I want you to know that we all know as we get into studying about Easter a whole lot of times, but this is not just an Easter message. This is an absolute Christian salvation message that we know that on the first day of the week, when those ladies went out to anoint the body of Jesus, I want you to know that the plan was fulfilled, that the plan was successful, that the plan arrived when they got out there and the only thing they found was an angel saying, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? For he is not here, but he is risen." That everything around him that tried to stop the plan was not able to stop Jesus Christ from being that perfect sacrifice for my sin and for your sin. It was not able to stop the plan for him to be able to stand in intercession for you and I, for him to provide his blood to cover my sins and to wash my sins away. I'm thankful that the plan could not be stopped. We see in Joseph that the plan wasn't stopped, that even though his brothers come against him, that even though he ended up in all those terrible places, that the plan still happened. And Jesus Christ had some of those things come in his life, but the plan couldn't be stopped. That he was able to fulfill the plan for you and I. And as Joseph remembered the dreams, I think it's important for us to remember some things in our Christian life tonight. I think it's important for us to remember some of the things that we've talked about. But the most important thing that we need to remember and to know and to hold on to, no matter what good days come along, no matter what dark days come along, it doesn't matter. The plan of salvation has been accomplished. The plan that God had for us to be able to be reconciled back to him. I don't know about you, but that's making my heart do a little something tonight. That's making me just a little bit happy. Just to know that there was a plan for me to be able to be one of God's children. And the plan was successful. You know what? I've laid out a lot of good plans in my life. A lot of good plans. And most of them, look, Addie and I, we decided... No, I won't blame it on Addie. I decided that I was going to build a... When I say I'm going to build something, we're in trouble right there. That I was going to build this shelf to put... At first, it was going to be totes on that we put Christmas decorations on. And I decided I was going to build this, and I laid out a plan. And then one night we were at Lowe's and I seen something that I didn't have to build and I bought it. And that was the best plan I ever had right there, was to buy that. So, but I had already bought the lumber to build the other thing. And I got home and I told Autumn, I said, you know what, I'm going to change a plan. I'm going to go down here and I'm going to build something to put my camping stuff on. Just to, you know, my tent and this and that and the other. And I'm going to put it down there and get it up out of the way. And I had it all planned out in my mind. It was just going to be wonderful. Well, so I built it out of two befores, and yeah, there were some interesting things that happened. Addie helped me build it, and we spent more time laughing than we did building. But we got done, and then I had some 4x8 sheets of some stuff that I was going to cut and lay on it so that it would be where you could stack stuff on there. And it was so out of square that I could not cut 4x8 sheets to put it on there whatsoever. My plan was mess. We'll just put it like that. My plan failed, but I'm thankful tonight that God's plan has not failed, will not fail. And the same plan that was laid out from Bible times when Jesus arose, the same plan is still working tonight. See, there's a lot of things that have changed in our lifetime. But the way to have a relationship with Jesus Christ has not changed. And I'm thankful that the plan worked, is working, and will always work. Because if we had to take different plans to people all the time and say, well, this is how you get to God, this is how you go to heaven, and change and change and change, it wouldn't be a whole lot to it. But I'm glad that one plan through Jesus Christ allowed me a relationship with the Father. So let's do some time and remember the things that God's done for us, and then let's be thankful for the plan that God laid out for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do for us. God, I want to thank you for the plan of salvation that you laid out for us. God, I want to thank you that that plan has always worked, is still working, and will always work, God. I pray that you'll help us, God, not to take that for granted, to remember the way that you spoke to our hearts, the way that you sought us out. God, all these things that we've talked about tonight, God, I pray that you'll just help us, that sometimes maybe when we're struggling a little bit or when we need to help someone else, help us to remember those things in our lives that we can share with others. God, I pray, dear Father, as we come together each and every time in this church, that we'll always seek you, that we'll let you lead, guide, and direct, and God, we'll just do our best to follow you. God, again, I pray that you'll touch all the prayer requests. Help us to be what you'd have us to be. Most of all, help us to point others to Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.